Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And hey, Joe, are you off book yet?
Huh?
Off book. We've been doing this for what, like a couple years?
I've been off kilter, but I don't know about no books.
Okay, moving on.
Hey, now.
So how are you?
And what are you trying to get at, young lady?
Oh, you'll see. You'll see.
Please, everybody, put your table in the upright position. Restow your luggage. We're about to take off.
Yep. Well, I do have a trivia question that might help you.
Okay.
This is from Factinate. Like fascinate, except with a C.
Ah, Factinate.
Yes, Factinate. Lots of facts that you don't know are innate. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
What was Broadway's first show to gross $1 billion?
Believe it or not, I actually knew this before.
Do you? Yeah. Okay, well, read it. What does it say?
This is Disney's. The Lion King is the first Broadway show to gross $1 billion in revenue. And in the 20 years since it opened on Broadway, the show has grossed $1.4 billion with an average of about $2 million a week.
Wow. Now, my question is, when it comes out in the theaters again as a movie, do you think that'll spike attendance?
The version that just came out, the semi-live animated version, really did spike attendance.
In Broadway, or Broadway shows.
I imagine it's coming back to Cleveland.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's due back in now or anytime soon.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we saw it in Toronto quite a few years ago.
Royal King James Theater?
Yes.
Yes, we did too.
Where the seats are tiny.
Well, we actually had one of the loges on the side.
Oh, my.
And then they wouldn't let us sit there to start the show.
Oh,
because one of the actors was there swinging their, you know, in that opening scene where they're waving everything.
Oh, yeah.
So they were there in our booth. So they said, just wait until they're done, and then you can move forward.
Oh, huh.
Do I get a discount? No, you're going to pay more for this privilege. Anyways, thank you. No, it was really good.
The first time I saw the big puppets come on stage,
totally.
I was like, oh, this is weird. And by the first song, it was like, okay, I get it. This is wonderful.
I just as a point of reference, the theme that blew me away on that in Toronto was when they did Mustafa, you know, when he came back in the clouds, how they get all those pieces just floating around, and all of a sudden that big Mustafa.
Yeah. Lion King is not our topic today. Off the track.
I wish I would have suggested that. We could have fun with this.
Here's a joke of a hint.
Okay.
Jokes.cc.com.
CC Rider.
I don't know what that stands for. It's not Canada, because that would be .ca.
A.
A. Anyway.
Yeah.
What do you call ghosts who scare talk show hosts?
I don't know.
The Phantom of the Opera. Oh, okay. I just made three people go, oh.
And in the background, you go, wah, 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 wah. That's not too bad. Okay.
So our theme for the day is not Oprah.
Ghost.
No. Come on.
New York?
No, well, close to something that's in New York.
Start spreading the news.
There we go. Broadway.
All right.
Hey. I was singing Al Jarreau, that Al Jarreau song.
Dun, dun.
I have no idea what you're doing, but
the neon lights of Broadway.
That was what that was?
Yes.
Oh, that's what
beginning.
I was singing. That's what I was swinging this singing this
that's
morning.
That's the opening line. Da 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 dun dun. Da da dun dun dun.
Okay.
They say the lights are bright. They are on Broadway. See?
Okay. What did I start? So
we haven't broken out in the spam yet, so anyways.
No, we're not going to. So our curious saying today is one that you know well, break a leg.
Hey,
yeah,
break a leg.
From phrases.org.uk.
And the producers.
And, well, it's been used a lot, but yeah, that too. So what's the meaning of the phrase break a leg?
I don't know.
Break a leg is a jovial encouragement said to actors for good luck before they go on stage, especially on opening night.
What's the origin of the phrase break a leg? Theatrical types are well known for their belief in superstitions, or at least for their willingness to make the show pretending to believe in them. The term break a leg appears to come from the belief that one ought not to utter words good luck to an actor. By wishing someone bad luck, it is supposed that the opposite will occur. Other superstitions are that it is bad luck to whistle in the theater to say the final line of the play during dress rehearsal. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
We always did. Or to say the name of the Scottish play Macbeth in a theater's green room.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. So break a leg also means make a strenuous effort. There are many references to the phrase used that way, which predates the earliest theatrical good luck charm meaning. For example, from the Hammond Times in India in 1942, whatever the Army or Navy want, the Continental Roll and Steel Foundry will turn out or break a leg drying. No idea how they translated that to Broadway, but okay.
Okay.
But in the Evening State Journal in Nebraska in 1937, with all the break-a-leg dancing, there are many who still warm to graceful soft shoe stepping. Again, Broadway?
Yeah, where's the tie-in here?
Yeah.
So is it possible that when an actor is told to break a leg, he or she may just be being exhorted to put on an energetic, exciting performance?
Okay.
Things that make you go,
You just say it. You don't worry about what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I got a top 10 list.
All right.
With 9 things.
As a normal.
Club top 5.
Club.
This is the top 9 indications you're watching a bad Broadway play.
Okay.
I've seen a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, number 9, to save on costume expenses, this production of Cats just uses a naked Ed Asner and Robin Williams.
Bad visual. Bad
visual.
I know.
I know.
Number 8, earplug wearing beer and hot dog vendors are working the crowd.
Number 7, now you'd have to know what show this is from. The show-stopping helicopter that swings down over the audience looks suspiciously like a rusted out El Camino. That's from Miss Saigon, right?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Yes. Number 6, after you get kicked in the head a third time, you begin to think that stomp it too now with audience participation was a bad idea.
Ooh. 3 suicides and a murder in the first act alone in the audience.
Ouch. Number 4. You don't remember Fiddler on the Roof having a long scene in which Teva loudly berates his agent on a cell phone. Oh.
Ouch. Number 3, when the falling chandelier stops inches above the audience, the people underneath it start to boo. Kill me now, so I don't have to see any more of the play. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Number 2, New York Times critic behind you asks if you know any synonyms for sucks because he's run out. Oh.
And the number 1 indication that you're watching a bad Broadway play.
Disturbing 5-minute pause in the middle of memories as the singing cat coughs up a hairball.
I know. Betty Buckley would never do that.
No.
Oh, goodness. Well, I have some disturbing news.
That was actually not one of my favorite plays.
I loved it. Nobody likes it, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Disturbing news.
Disturbing news.
Yeah. I don't know if this is permanent, but I went to dumbcriminals.com.
Yeah.
And it's not there anymore.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. It wouldn't load. It wasn't there. My computer was fine.
So the criminals finally protested and got it off the internet.
I don't know. So I had to find other things.
Okay.
So I Googled criminals Broadway, and I got every Broadway show that ever had a criminal in it. So this is from Playbill.com, the folks that make the playbills.
Okay.
For Broadway. And this is 7 musicals you didn't know are based on true crimes.
Oh.
By Robert Vargas. This surprised me.
No, not necessarily. Some of them make sense.
But they're real crimes.
Oh, based on real crimes.
Based on real crimes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Crimes of revenge, crimes of passion, crimes of opportunity, even comic crimes, misdemeanors, and felonies of all types have provided fuel for drama since the days of Greek tragedy. The same is true today, and criminal activity can be found even in a relatively lighthearted world of musicals. Aside from the obvious, like Assassins and others, police reports and news stories have provided the inspiration for more than one songwriter to take to the piano.
Chicago, which started in 1975, John Kander and Fred Ebb based their musical on a 1926 play of the same title by Maureen Watkins, a Chicago Tribune crime reporter whose own coverage of 2 sensational real-life murders for similar crimes proved irresistible as the subject of a drama. The first was the 1924 trial of Belva Gartner, a cabaret singer charged with shooting her married lover, Walter Law, in a car and then abandoning the body next to a pistol and a bottle of Prohibition-era bootleg gin.
There you go.
Ah.
Sweeney Todd.
This one scared me.
The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, 1979. Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler based their 1979 music on a play about the revenge-seeking barber who cut the throats of his customers and then handed them over to his accomplice, Miss Lovelett, to become meat pies. That play had antecedents in penny dreadful novels and plays of the 19th century. Though his research has been scoffed at, historian Peter Haney claimed to have found the truth about the real Sweeney Todd.
Mm.
Now, he claims Todd was born in October 26, 1756, in Brick Lane, East London. Todd grew up fascinated with the instruments of torture displayed in the Tower of London as a warning to miscreants. When his parents died young, the 14-year-old Todd became apprenticed to a cutler, one who makes and repairs knives and other cutting tools, who specializes in razors.
Mm-hmm.
So when Todd landed in jail for petty thief, he attached himself to the prison's barber.
Mm. And then, upon his release, he made his living as a street corner barber. It's not a man that stands on the street corner wanting to cut your hair. That's a weird saying.
Yeah.
Opening a small shop and shacking up.
Get your haircut here. Hit your haircut. Two for one day.
Anyway.
We'll shave for food.
Where was I? Anyway, after he opened a small shop, got off the corner sidewalk, he shacked up with a young woman whom he regularly abused. One day, a customer regaled Todd with a story of his previous night's sexual adventures, describing a woman who matched Todd's common-law wife. Enraged, Todd interrupted the man's shave by slashing his throat from ear to ear.
Yeah, the story might have ended here had Todd been caught, but he wasn't. Not yet. He began to kill prosperous-looking customers in order to rob them, but disposing of the bodies did become a problem. Enter Marguerite, sometimes listed as Sarah Lovelett, who added the meat-baking pie dimension to the story. Now, as in the musical and play, the smell from the shop soon attracted official attention. Mrs. Lovelett was arrested and fingered Todd. Todd was tried and hung for murders on January 25th, 1802. Now, ironically, his body was turned over to the Royal College of Surgeons, who cut him up as neatly and professionally as he had done illegally so many times.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew. My son, I don't know where it came from, but one day he came home and said, "What's Sweeney Todd about?" Oh, you know, it's a barber that cuts up people and then turns them over to be made into meat pies.
Yeah.
He looked at me. He said, "So it's not a comedy."
Some might call it a comedy. Most normal people wouldn't.
No. And anyway, this is one of my favorite ones.
Yes.
In 2001, The Producers came out. After serving in the Army during World War II, the unenviable job of defusing landmines in the fight against Adolf Hitler's Third Reich, Melvin Kaminsky, later known as Mel Brooks, worked at a number of jobs in show business before breaking in as a stand-up comedian and later a comedy writer. Among them was working for a down-at-heels would-be producer named Benjamin Kucher, who raised money for his inevitably doomed projects by romancing elderly wealthy women.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The job also gave Brooks the chance to observe other producers who maintained themselves in luxury by cooking the books while their shows failed around them. Brooks believed that the best way to win against monsters like Hitler was to ridicule them and take away their scary power. Somehow these ingredients, crooked bookkeeping, seducing elderly women for their money, and laughing at Hitler, combined to give him the idea for a novel, later changed to a play, then a movie that ultimately became a Broadway smash hit, The Producers.
Love wow. The movie.
Yep, me too.
Matthew Broderick makes me laugh. In 2001, we had Thou Shalt Not. This short-lived musical with music and lyrics by Harry Connick Jr. And book by David Thompson was adapted from the Emile Zola novel Therese Raquin, which caused a sensation when it was published in 1867. A non-musical adaptation of the novel appeared on Broadway earlier this season. The novel was based on a simple newspaper story about an unhappy married woman and her lover who conspired to murder her husband and then found themselves consumed with guilt. Zola changed the details of the story considerably, taking the reader inside the heads of both the killers and the family of the victim. The musical took further liberties.
Hmm.
Yuck.
That one I hadn't heard of.
No.
A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, 2013. That's an ominous title. The Tony Award-winning musical with book by Robert L. Friedman, music by Stephen Lutfig, and lyrics by both, closely tracks the plot of the 1949 British film Kind Hearts and Coronets, which in turn was suggested by a 1907 novel, Israel Rank, the autobiography of a criminal by Roy Horman, based on a real case. All deal with the same subject, a young man who murders his way to a title.
Modern-day politics. 2016, American Psycho, the musical with a book by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa and a score by Duncan Sheik is based on the novel of the same title by Brett Edson Ellis about a wealthy young investment banker during the Wall Street boom of the 1980s. By day, Patrick Bateman pursues a quiet doll life, but by night he goes into town looking for victims to murder in increasingly grisly ways. Ellis said in an interview that he based Bateman's isolation and alienation on his own during that period. He told an interview, "I was living like Patrick Bateman. I was slipping into a consumeric kind of void that was supposed to give me confidence and make me feel good about myself, but it just made me feel worse and worse and worse and worse about myself." Instead of committing murders, though, Ellis made up the idea of a serial killer based on a spat of serial killers at the time, including those of Ted Bundy and Richard Chase, the Vampire of San Francisco, whose exploit Ellis researched at the New York Public Library.
That's got to put you in a good mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. On to better, not-so-grim-grab things. A little story time.
I'm in my happy mood.
This one, we'll see. If you have never been in the theater, I'm not sure if you'd understand this, but you might. This is from the strangest website name.
Okay.
Though Spinny Jow.
Sounds English almost.
.blogspot.com.
There's Spinny Jow.
Spinny Jow. So this is theater logic.
Okay.
In is down. Down is front on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Out is up. Up is back.
Mm-hmm.
Off is out and on is in. And, of course, left is right and right is left.
Of course. A drop shouldn't and a block and fall does neither. A prop doesn't and a cove has no water. Tripping is okay. A running crew barely gets anywhere. A purchase line buys you nothing. A trap will not catch anything. A gridiron has nothing to do with football. Strike is work. In fact, a lot of work. And the green room, thank God, usually isn't. Now that you're fully versed in theatrical terms, break a leg.
But not really,
yeah.
I thought that was cute.
You know, when you first go on stage and start learning directions and some of these things.
Yeah, stage really, right. No, that's stage left. But it's on my... No, it's not.
You're looking at from the... Yeah, you have to remember the point of perspective.
Yeah.
And that's the key to a lot of this, so...
It took me a long time to figure out what the fourth wall was.
Yeah.
And the fifth wall and the sixth wall. When you do improv, there can be lots of walls.
We do build them, don't we?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, again, from Factinate.
Factinate.
Some fast facts.
Okay.
These Broadway theater is commonly referred to as just Broadway, and that really means the theatrical performances performed in 41 professional theaters along Broadway in Manhattan, New York City. I didn't know there were 49. That's pretty cool.
Not just Broadway, but off-Broadway as well, the surrounding.
We'll get to that.
Oh, I see.
Along with London's West End, it represents the best commercial theater in the English-speaking world. Below are show-stopping facts about Broadway shows.
Okay. Longest run show, The Phantom of the Opera is Broadway's longest running show. It opened in 1988 on Broadway and has been staged over 11,400 times.
Mistaken time period. Contrary to popular belief, Les Mis is not set during the French Revolution of 1789. The action begins in 1815 and spans 20 years, including the French Uprising of 1832. And last night on PBS, they had the 25-year anniversary of Les Mis. And it was amazing.
I was watching the Indians having fun in New York.
Which can be very dramatic, too.
Not last night.
Oh, okay.
Our hometown boys put a whooping on those New York folks. So
okay.
It was good, speaking of Broadway. Anyways, an operatic wizard. While most people are familiar with The Wizard of Oz through the 1939 film with Judy Garland, the book originally took to the stage in 1902 as a vaudeville-type operetta.
Hmm.
The show contained 60 songs, and had significant change from the book, including the physical absence of the Wicked Witch of the West. a smaller role for the Cowardly Lion, and a cow named Imogene in place of Toto the dog.
Did Imogene the cow fit in that little basket?
And Imogene, too. The show was a hit, however, and ran for 293 performances on Broadway.
Wow. Wow. Nope. Anyway, in answer to the previous comment, Broadway or off-Broadway?
Yes.
The way to determine whether a show is on or off-Broadway is by the number of seats.
Oh.
In order to be considered on-Broadway, a theater must seat at least 500. Off-Broadway can seat between 100 and 499.
Cool.
That's really cool. So off-Broadway is like when your mom and your uncle come.
Yeah. And watch the little kid perform.
Yeah, I've done that.
Behind the curtain. It was there from the bed sheet. Yes. Actually, we were just up in New York a little bit ago, and we saw Jersey Boys.
Oh, did
and
you like that?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. It was a good show. Tiny tribute. Now, if you listen closely to the smash hit musical Wicked, which is inspired by The Wizard of Oz, you'll hear a tiny tribute to the song Over the Rainbow in the song Unlimited, Unlimited.
Over the Rainbow.
Due to copyright laws, they were only to use the first seven notes, and the song also uses a different rhythm and harmony to disguise the original.
Different rhythm and harmony. Okay, then.
It's a new song.
That's why I haven't noticed it, probably.
It's a new song.
I love
yeah.
Wicked, though. I love Wicked. Fit to their faces. Each actor playing the role of Phantom has a mask custom made from a mold of their face.
Mm.
In the show's 29-year Broadway run, 300 masks have been custom made.
Do they get to keep the mask after their show? Their time is done?
I don't know. They could open a whole mask museum.
So you might be saying this is a masquerade? 37,000 hours. It took over 37,000 hours, equivalent to about 4.22 years, to build all the puppets and used in the musical Lion King. Over 232 puppets can be seen in the show, including rod puppets, shadow puppets, and full-sized puppets.
Mm, okay.
I believe that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I like this website so much. That was spinnyjow.blogspot.com. There are some jokes.
Okay.
Or something you might classify as jokes.
Stand by for heavy rolls. Anyways.
Once upon a time, there was a young man who decided to eschew modern life and abandon the promising career as a Broadway singer to become a monk. He loved the fact that each morning a bell would ring and the monks would all assemble in the dining hall at a long table and stand waiting for the abbot. That worth would come in, stand at the head of the table, and chant in a rich baritone, "Good morning."
And the monks would chant back,
Good morning. Then they would sit down for breakfast.
After a hard day of prayer and study, the monks would once again assemble at the sound of the bell, take their places at the long table, and wait for the abbot for the evening meal. He would come in and chant, "Good evening." And the monks would chant back,
Good evening. And then they would have dinner.
Mm.
The young monk threw himself into his studies, sometimes staying up all night. Inevitably, it happened. He became confused as to whether it was day or night. Hearing the bell, he hurried to the dining hall and barely reached the place before the abbot arrived. As he did every morning, the abbot intoned, "Good morning." The young monk, confused, instead of replying, chanted,
"Good evening."
The abbot had a keen ear. He cocked his head and in the same fine voice chanted out, "Some enchanted evening." Okay.
And every time I read Abbott, I was just thinking about the movie, you know, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Oh, yes, yes.
Abbott, Abbott! Anyways.
Yeah.
So,
humor.
Here are some proposed titles for Broadway shows that have been rejected.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Love it. Did you see Jimmy Fallon? Do you ever watch Jimmy Fallon?
I do not.
The other night he did rejected lyrics, and they did a whole song. Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah.
But it was, should I go? Maybe I won't. I probably ought to stay. I came, now I think I went. And yeah, it was well done.
Okay.
Anyway, proposed titles for Broadway shows that were rejected.
Number one, Jersey Boys in the Hood.
Guys in Blow-Up Dolls. Sorry, it's a family show.
Jekyll and hydroponics.
Bug spray hair.
Yeah. Enormous women.
Little Shop of Hoarders.
Well, if that didn't work, Little Shop of Hors d'oeuvres.
You're a good man, Charlie Sheen.
Try to sell that one. This one got a silent response. Chorus mime.
On a clear day, you can see Russia from my house. That was my Tina Fey impersonation of Sarah Palin.
Yes. And, of course, we always have the Book of Moron.
And followed by the Book of Morbid.
All right, let us go back to our presupposition of the Phantom Menace of the Opera.
Ah, and Whittler on the roof. He made a lovely little bird call while he was singing about being poor.
God, I cannot whistle anymore, Whittler anymore. How about the movie Dream Grills?
You know, like the big green egg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elbow grease.
Yeah. And this play didn't go over well. Grease Fire.
No. And Jersey Shore Boys.
How to succeed in business without a government bailout.
Ooh. Mm. And finally, the Kanye West Side Story West. Oh, goodness.
I don't write them. I just read them.
I don't write them or anything. I just pull them off the internet and hope for the best.
See what happens. Well, if we're going to play with Broadway, we got to do a couple knock-knock jokes. So feel free to sing along.
Okay.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Stephanie.
Stephanie who?
Stephanie Six Trombones led the big parade.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Sam and Janet.
Sam and Janet who?
Sam and Janted Evening. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I looked on Twitter and tried to find Broadway, hashtag Broadway, and there were a lot of things promoting Broadway shows. But I found one, Broadway Fail.
Broadway Fail.
Yes. At Access Hollywood says, I'm doing a piece on Cabaret the Musical using footage from Les Mis Broadway. Broadway Fail, not even close.
At New York Theater, one problem, theaters are old, most nearly a century, and people have literally gotten bigger since then.
Ooh.
True. Hashtag Broadway Fail. I was in the theater on 44th Street, and I'm a bigger guy, and it took a stick of dynamite and a crowbar to get me out. I mean, because once you plot in there, it was like...
Yeah.
You know, and then my butt molded to the squareness of the seat.
Yeah, and London's like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
some of them off-Broadway theaters. But now, where we saw Jersey Boys, it's a newer theater, and it's really good.
Oh, no. That's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Taking our coat and call.
No, together we are Kat Soup. The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week, folks.